My reputation precedes me. But, anyhow, Sandy, we love you. Ray Bolts was a student at the University of Atlanta a number of years ago. And he was leaving class one day. He was walking by, and there were some Gideons out there that were handing out Bibles. And he took a Bible, and he got interested in it, and he went back to his room and in the dorm, and he started reading it. And finally, one thing led to another, and he came to know Christ as his personal Savior. Then he led his roommate to Christ, and then they went on and left college, and they went to work for a company called Worldwide Electronics. And anyhow, Ray had a real interest in music, and so he got interested in gospel music. And he finally decided to start trying to write some. And he did. And, excuse me, we know that now that we hardly can turn on a gospel radio station without hearing one of Ray Bolts' songs. And he had a lot of success with his music. He still does. And he became a Gideon himself. And he and his partner served as Gideons for a number of years until his music took away a lot of his time. But anyhow, they ended up buying the company. So they owned the company. I had a long visit with his business partner from some years ago. But I'd like to do a song that Ray Bolts wrote, and maybe you can think about whenever we hear music that a Gideon Bible had something to do with us getting that. So if we'll roll it, fellas. though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. Now I have been young, but I'm older now, and there have been beauty these eyes have seen. It was in the night, through the storms of my life. Oh, that's where I found God's eyes were watching me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the ship is born. I have fallen on my knees as I think the rains, the anchor holds in spite. I have fallen on my knees as I face those raging the anchor holds in spite of the storm. We had some fellows here last night talking about Africa, and I thought about a very interesting story that had to do with the Gideons about Kenya. It seems like that some of our Gideons were there at a girls' school handing out Bibles one day, and they handed them out to all the students. And that next day or so, there was just a common, ordinary crook. He was going around to all of these girls' rooms, and he was stealing everything he could get his hands on. He'd get the powder puffs, and he'd get the perfume, and he'd get all those hairbrushes and everything, and he'd steal it. And so he happened to go into a room where there was a girl that was still there. He didn't know that she was there, and he went in there. And you can imagine how she felt with somebody like that. And she started screaming and yelling and picking up everything she could get her hands on and throwing it at him. And one of the things that she picked up and threw at him and conked him on the side of the head was that Gideon Bible. And him being the diligent crook that he was, he picked up everything that she had thrown at him, and he put it in his bag, and then he took off. But anyhow, as he was looking through his plunder that night, he came across this Gideon Bible, and he was kind of fascinated by it, and he started to read it. And he kept on reading it, and finally it came to the point where he came to know Christ as his personal Savior. And he didn't stop there. He went on to school, and he later on became a well-known pastor in the Kenyan area. And one time he was talking to his church, and he says, "You know, I'd like to hear how each one of you came to Christ. It's important for me to know that." And so each one of them got up and they shared about how they came to Christ. And finally one of the members says, "Pastor, we'd like to know how you came to Christ." He said, "Well, I'm a little embarrassed to tell you." But he said, "All right, here goes." So he got up and he told about this incident, about how that this girl hit him up the side of the head with this Bible and he took it home and read it. And from that point on, he went on to become a Christian and become a pastor. After he got through, there was quite a silence in the congregation as his wife got up to speak. She says, "I'm going to reveal some news to my husband that's going to stun him." She was the girl that hit him up the side of the head with that Bible. I don't know how that marriage turned out, but I'm sure it was all right. You know, a lot of people know what the Gideons are, have a general idea about it, but I'd like to give you some idea about it. But the Gideons are business and professional men, and it's our sole purpose to win men and women and boys and girls to Jesus Christ. There are a lot of other wonderful ministers out there, and nobody's knocking them, but this is what God has called us to do. We want to win people to Christ. We want to do it through personal witnessing. We'd like to have our Bibles with us whenever we meet someone that we can lead them to Christ and we can talk to them about it. But we also try to put the copy of God's Word in various areas of where people go. And the ministry's been started about 108 or 9 years ago. Now, my friend George is with me today. He was there. When he goes in to get Kentucky Fried Chicken, they think they've seen a ghost. But at any rate, it was started a number of years ago, and the fellas that were in a Wisconsin hotel, they had to bunk up and because there was not enough room for all of them, but they were both Christians, and they got involved in a conversation about how wonderful it would be if at every hotel there was at least a Bible up at the front desk. That's really all they had in mind. They thought, wouldn't that be a great thing if we could do that? Well, they shared their ideas with others, and finally they had enough support that they came together, and they started this ministry. And there was an association of pastors that were meeting at that same time. So we've heard about this organization that they want to put Bibles in hotels. And one of the pastors went over there, and he listened to what they were doing. He said, "This is a very worthwhile work. And we think that the churches ought to be supportive of this and provide the financing because it's going to cost a lot of money to do that." And that has taken place till this very day. The churches are the ones who've provided the funds so that we can take Bibles all over the world. Last year alone, the Gideons placed over 70 million copies of God's Word throughout 182 countries throughout the world. An incredible act. But you know what? It all came back to where the churches did that. The churches were the people who provided the funds for that. Now, we are considered an extension arm of the church. We are able to do some things, particularly in our work, that the church would have a difficult time doing. For instance, let's take a testament. It would cost us about $1.30 to print that, to transport it to any of these 182 countries, let's just say to Africa. It would be difficult for a church to be able to using good business judgment, be able to print Bibles and send them and ship them over there, and you could never do it for that amount. The reason why the Gideons can do it is because we have printing presses, about 20 of them, scattered throughout the world. We have done all of the business things we can to keep the cost of the scriptures down as much as we can. And on top of that, we're made up of an all-volunteer organization. The people do that because they love the Lord and they want to see a copy of God's Word into the hands of all the people. And the Gideons not only are business professional men who serve without any salary or expenses or anything else, but we actually pay dues to the international. And by that money that we pay as dues, they're able to hire people that for full-time jobs to carry on the work in Nashville, which is some 85 or 90. So you see, but the carrying of the Bibles all over the world is done by godly men who want to see the scripture come to people. I had an incident that happened some time ago that was kind of unusual. How many of you go by a Noah's Ark down here on Interstate 70 there by the river and see where they're, all right, they're tearing it all down. It's all gone now. The building that is left there, the hotel, Tom Barrett, who's a friend of mine over here at the Boone City Workshop, he called me up one day and he says, Clinton, you know, we've been hired to take and clean all that hotel out. And what we've run into is there are a lot of Gideon Bibles in there, and I don't have the heart to throw them away. He says, would you want me to take them to you? And I says, yeah, bring them down to the warehouse. I'll take it. And so he took them and he brought them down to the warehouse. Now, our church, sometime after that, we had a case where some of the old people my age, went to Trinidad on a mission trip. And we just thought, well, this would be a good thing if we take those Gideon Bibles with us, and we'll find some use for them down there. And so we did. And my wife and I also purchased about 400 of the regular testaments to take with us. We wanted to hand them out too. Well, we got down there, and Brother Roddy Taylor, with his church down there, we helped them out in revival services for about 4 or 5 days. And we would go around in the community, and we would witness to people, and we'd give them a copy of God's Word. I know that I was stunned about how the people in Trinidad and all of the other parts of the world, how they are so open to receiving a copy of the Word of God. I took some Bibles down to a baseball field where some boys were practicing. And I thought, I'll just hand out a few of these scriptures here while I'm there. And so I handed out a few of those to some of those boys there. And all of a sudden, the word got out to those people who were out there playing ball, and they stopped what they were doing, dropped their catcher's mask and their bats and everything, and come running up there and says, we want a copy of God's Word too. My wife and I would stand at the door of the church, and as some people come by, we would hand them a copy of God's Word as they went by. And it was one of the most incredible things. You'd see a kid come by, and you'd hand him a copy of God's Word, and he'd take off. And then in just a few minutes, there'd be a half a dozen kids come back saying, we want one too. And so you see, it is so open. I've seen people, that whenever you give them a copy of God's Word, stop where they were, sit down, and read it right on the spot. So at any rate, Brother Roddy, the pastor, he started to think about how we could use some of these big hotel Bibles. And so he decided, well, I'll make it a contest, and whoever brings the most people to church, I'll give them a copy of the Bible. Well, there was a guy across the street there from the church that never would come. He just didn't want any part of it. But anyhow, he sat out there and listened to Brother Roddy talk about that. And he, that next night, this fella came forth who wasn't even a Christian, and he won the Bible because he brought 12 people to church. He was so excited, he got the Bible, and I got pictures of him holding it up and dancing around. Well, guess what? The next night, they had the same thing, and he won it again. And that kind of went on there for a while. But anyhow, after I talked to Brother Roddy a while about before we left, and he says, you know, we've had other people come up from the States, and they have had a measured amount of success in what they've done to help us out. But he says, that this group is different. And the main difference is you are giving these folks Bibles, and it's making altogether the difference in the world. And before we left, the church had doubled in size. Whenever I got back home, I had his email, and he and I emailed back and forth a little bit. And the first week I got back, he said, 13 people came forward this morning to accept Christ as their Savior. He says, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, I've gotten every chair that I can find. I've gotten every box. I've gotten everything in the world that a person can sit on. The people are still standing around the auditorium right there and willing to stand up through the entire service. And I don't know where I'm going to put them all. We don't have a building that large. The next week, I got an email from him. He says, 25 more people accepted Christ as their Savior. I don't have a clue what we're going to do with them. That's the last I heard of him. But you know, the thing of it is, you talk to missionaries that go to foreign countries, and they will, you just check it out now. You know, you may have known some personal missionaries personally. You'll find that in many cases, the Gideons were there first, and therefore they were able to give the Word of God to people, and then people were more open to come into Christ because they've already received a copy of God's Word. Did you ever hear of any one going into Cuba and trying to do much for the work there for the Lord? Well, B. Don Johnson, who's a little bitty guy, he won't weigh 140 pounds. I've always said he was the best Gideon pound for pound there is in the world. He's up in years. And he has gone down into Cuba himself, and he has opened up 25 camps. Camps are places like we have in Wentzville here where a lot of men belong to it and they serve. 25 camps. And we ask him, says, didn't Castro try to do anything to you for doing that? He said, oh yeah, they followed me around for a little while and they decided I wasn't trying to overthrow anything, and so they've kind of let me alone then. But yet, look at this. He even took, we can't ship anything directly from the United States to Cuba for with Bibles, so he had it shipped from United States to Mexico, back over to Cuba. He's going back down there again to organize even more. Guess what? Someday, we're going to have relationships with Cuba. And you're going to find out that the Gideons have already been there. And they've already made it better for where the people who can come in there and do mission work will be able to have a head start on it. God is blessing in a great and mighty way, and you are the people who have done that. We've been coming to this church for years, and the offerings have been so generous. And believe me, whenever a Gideon comes back to give a report, we're reporting on what your funds have done. And they've been tremendous. Here a few years ago, our state president, Bill Matlock, had a group of men that decided to go to the country of Colombia in South America to do what we call an EAP. In other words, they were going to go down there and pass out several hundred thousand scriptures. He got a letter from our State Department saying that Colombia is an extremely, extremely dangerous place to be, and you know that. When we think of Colombia, we think of drugs, we think of kingpins, we think of all sorts of organized crimes. And the State Department says, we're just going to warn you. We're not going to stop you, but if you go down there and if you get kidnapped in any way, there is not one single solitary thing that the United States can do for you. You are there. And if you go, you go at your own risk. Well, there's about 30 of those fellows that went down there anyway. And sure enough, while they were down there, one of the local Gideons was murdered. One of them was kidnapped and has never been seen since. But during that period of time, they broke all records for handing out scriptures with over 1 million copies of God's word that was handed out in the country of Colombia, in their schools, their jails, their hospitals, police departments, and all of that. That was handed out in that length of time. He told about talking in a church there that there was a guy came in one time, he was out in the jungles. He came in and laid down his rifle right there at the door and came down and listened, got up and walked out. He talked about how a man stopped him as he was leaving one time on a trail, and he says, he had his gun on and said, I want one of those little books you've got. He gave it to him. Can you believe that? But at any rate, we can see how that there's a hunger and a thirst for God's word out there. Now let's fast forward a little bit to today. We are told that one of the greatest revivals that's ever been known in the world is taking place in Colombia, South America now. There is one church alone down there that has got over 500,000 members. And they are meeting in homes and they're doing other places with Bible studies and what have you. And that people are coming to Christ by the thousands in a country that we had written off as being so drug infested and what have you that it wasn't worth having. I don't know where they got those Bibles, but I have a pretty good idea. And believe me, whenever you get the copy of God's word into the hands of people, revival follows. I heard the story of a missionary that went down to Venezuela one time, went to a little village, and going around and getting to know the people. They found out that not one single family in that village could read or write. They also found out that not one single family were Christians. Not a one. And then they finally came to this one house where there was 3 generations of people lived in this house. And they were astonished to find out that not only were they able to read and to write, they were Christians. And they asked them, how in the world could this possibly be that you're able to read and write and nobody else in town can and that you're Christians? And the father came out and he had a Gideon Bible and he says, you know, somebody threw this out on the railroad track And I picked it up, and we don't have much of anything to read. I brought it home, and we learned to read out of this Bible, and we also became Christians. Does that tell you about what Isaiah 55:11 says? My word will not return void. No matter what, my word will not return void. Sylvia was a little girl that was raised in New Orleans. She was abused by her father from the time she was just a little bitty kid. And it got to the point by the time she was 13 that she was already selling her body. And finally, she talked to the people in school about it, and they immediately took her out and put her in foster home. After she was in foster home for a while, she ran off and went back into her previous life of prostitution. And while finally she was with a man in a hotel one time, and after he left, she looked over there, and there was a Gideon Bible. She picked it up and started to read it and found out how that Christ really loved her. She had never been told any time in her life by anybody that she was anything but a bunch of trash, but that God really loved her. And she gave her heart and life to Christ. And she's come back to, and she was at a Gideon convention one time and said, I just want, she's talking to pastors, do you know that this book that you put in this hotel that you pastors did, that it was the first time I had ever heard in my entire life that anybody really loved me. And how my life was so trashed up. But now then she's born again. She loves the Lord. She's serving him. Because you see, nobody probably in a church would have gone to a motel where she was and were given a copy of God's word. But God's word found its way to her and great and mighty things happened. Cindy was a little girl who lived in Kentucky. Her dad was a coal miner, but he was also very much of an atheist, and her mother was too. And ever she went to school, and the Gideons were handing out Bibles there, and the fact is she got one, and she took it, and she accepted Christ as her personal Savior and Lord. And she wanted to try to share with them, but they didn't want to have any part of it. Finally, one day, she, as her dad was going to work, she went up to him and said, Dad, I've just got to hug you. And whenever she hugged him, she took and put a copy of God's word in his bib overalls. And he went on back to the coal mine, not knowing that he wouldn't return because there was a cave-in. Whenever they finally dug all that out and then all the guys had died, they found her father, and he had this Gideon Testament in his hand. And he had a little note written, says, Cindy, I am going to be in heaven waiting for that hug. Everything's fine. It is incredibly wonderful to see how the scriptures that you purchase, the wonderful things that they do. You know, Dave, you were talking about China. I was over there probably in the mid-90s smuggling Bibles in too. And I know that it broke my heart some of the things that the Chinese Christians were going through. It was just awful. But I do know that the Gideons have always wanted to get into China. It's been a long, hard task to get anything done on that. I mean, they're... negotiations with them take years. It's not done overnight. Finally, a little headway was made a few years ago whenever the Gideons finally convinced the government, they said, you know, you have first-class hotels over here, and you've got people coming in from all over the world, and you want to have things that are very nice for people, but in the rest of the world, if you don't have Gideon Bibles in your hotel, you're not considered a first-class hotel. Guess what? They said, put them in. So, for a while, we've had Gideon Bibles in the first-class hotels. And so they kept on talking, months and years. Finally, the Chinese says, well, if we let you do that, who's going to print these Bibles? We'd kind of like to have the business. And the Gideon says, if you print a quality book like we have and follow our instructions, I think that can be arranged. And so... talks went on again, years and years. But finally, this past year, This is something that we don't put out in any kind of printed material because it is so sensitive. But can you believe this? China has finally said, okay, we'll let you have two camps in here on a maiden voyage. We'll see what happens. Now there is a Gideon camp in Beijing. There's a Gideon camp in Shanghai. And it is so sensitive that only the international is the one who will have any dealings with it. They don't want to mess it up. But at any rate, I think it's interesting that in the one in Beijing, that the president of that camp owns a computer business. He has 132 employees who work for him. And over there, if you work for a person, it's just kind of like part of the family. They look out there for you. And you wonder how that's going to happen. You say, oh God, if China opens, there's going to be a need for scriptures like we have never seen before. That is why that we go to churches now, and we're trying to even step that up because we need more offerings. That is why that we bring memorial Bibles here and try to encourage people in order to be able, if you have a death of someone you want to remember, if you have someone who's a graduation or anything like that, send them a card and then buy a Bible in honor of that, because that buys scriptures that we can put out to bring people to Christ. And we also, we're trying to get more members. Now you can look at George and I and you can tell that we're getting a little long on the tooth. And we need young men now to come into our organization. We need them very badly because of the fact we need to continue this work. We need to be able to, you know, India is a country that will let us in, and we're taking all the Bibles that we can take, and we can take over there, and they'll let us bring them in. But we've put a stop to it now because of the fact if you start a new camp, you have to have a certain number of scriptures to be able to do that, and we're running short. And so therefore, we need that. We need more men. We need your prayers, the biggest thing that we need. We want you to pray for us and to pray that some men will come into this organization and will take leadership parts, and that they'll be able to go out to churches, and that they'll be able to go to schools and other places and hand out scriptures. We need them badly. You pray about it. If you're, and you and your wife, this is a ministry that you can do together. I hope you'll pray about it, because we do need you to do this. Several years ago, whenever the Soviet Union, Iron Curtain broke down. The talk was about whether the Gideons would go into the Soviet Union. And some said, you know, that's just too big a job. This is a huge country. We can't possibly think about going into that. And finally, there was one man went into the archives of the Gideons headquarters, and he brought out a letter that was sent by General of the Army Douglas MacArthur back in about 1945. He wrote it to the Gideon. He says, you know what? Japan is a defeated nation. They are open and ready to receive copies of God's word if you'll get it here. The Gideons were a much smaller organization at that time, not that much international in scope. Didn't do anything. And as a result of that, now, the country of Japan, we're told, has in their population, only about 0.5% of the people over there are Christians. This was an opportunity missed. So then they said, we've got to do something about it. And so there was more effort to speak in churches. There was more effort to get men to come into the ministry. There's more pushing the Memorial Bible and the Faith Fund and all of those things, where that in the last, I think, 10 or 15 years, we've been sending something like 400,000 scriptures a month to the Soviet Union. We could send more. I don't know what your financial situation is, and I don't want to come up here and beat anybody over the head, but I'm just saying that this is an opportunity to serve. This is an opportunity to get the copy of God's word everywhere. My wife and I went to Panama City a number of years ago with a pastor friend of ours, and we only took about 100 scriptures with us. We thought we'd hand them out, and we thought that'd be enough. We just thought with the taxi drivers and different ones we'd see, we'd just hand them out. We got there, and they had services there that Lasted 4 days. This pastor friend of ours was preaching there. It was a huge church. It held about 5,000 people. Had a parking lot about one-tenth the size of yours. Everybody walked or rode a bus or something. But at any rate, the wife and I sat on the front seat, and whenever a person would come to know Christ as their Savior, we went up there and we put our arms around them. We said, we just want you to have a copy of God's Word, and we hope you'll grow in Christ. And so we had the most wonderful experience that you can imagine for two nights. It was wonderful. There's never been anything to compare with the joy we had in talking with those folks and giving them a copy of God's Word and seeing them. I've seen them actually kiss the Bible, hug it, all of that. They loved it so much. That was two nights. The revival lasted four. The third night, it was a different story. The people still came forward to know Christ. And then they would come up to us and they said, we need scriptures for these people. They've come to Christ. And we had said, we don't have any. You don't have scriptures? Surely you have scriptures. Don't you have them back in the hotel? Don't you have them somewhere? We've got people here that are hungry and needing the Word of God. And you're telling me you don't have any scriptures? We don't. We actually fell on each other's shoulder and we cried every night. It was such an opportunity missed. Hey, we had the money. We could have taken plenty of scriptures down there. There was plenty of room on the plane. It was just we didn't think. We just didn't realize it. We have opportunities in life sometimes, and we don't watch it enough to see that this is a great opportunity to do something for the glory of God. I thank you so much. This is one of my favorite churches. I know so many people here that I just feel like I'm a member already. But thank you for letting me come, and may God just bless you a bunch.
I really appreciate Clint, and actually, is Marty here? Did he go? Hoping we're going to take an offering. I was hoping somebody could actually play, but I could give it a shot, but I don't think it's going to go well. Is Cynthia here? Cynthia left too. Both of those guys were here last night for 4 hours. Clint wasn't 4 hours, but we'll take a silent offering. How's that? Unless Rick wants to sing. All right, could I have a couple ushers come up? And as they come up, I always love the Gideons. I really do. You probably heard David Vaughn share that through a Gideon Bible is actually how he became a Christian. Did you know that? Through his brother, who led David to Christ, was saved through a Gideon Bible. So that's an amazing thing. 70 million Bibles were passed out over the past year. 70 million. I just wrote down some of the statistics. Do you know how many people are in China, by the way? What is there, 2 billion people in China?
About 1.3.
I think it's about 2 billion. But 6 billion people in the world, one-third are Chinese. That's a pretty large opening that we're trying to get into. And I'm sure that you're going to need quite a few Bibles when that door opens up. And I went to a Gideon dinner, last month, and they were talking about China and how that door was beginning to open. And I didn't realize they already had people on the ground in there now. So they have two camps in there. And if that goes well, I mean, that thing's going to really explode. And it's very heartbreaking when you hear a place like India that is open and is desiring and is hungering for the Word, and yet here we are lacking the ability or the funds or the resources in that area to provide the scriptures there. When I was at that dinner, and you can correct me, I like statistics, but one of the things they said is that, and this was amazing to me, that a Bible that's handed out at a hotel, that 20% of the people who visit a room open up the scripture. So 20% of the people that visit a hotel room open up the scripture. So if you figure, we'll do a little bit of math here, a room is used 300 times in a year. So how many times a year does somebody open that Bible up? 60. 60 is my math. Who's a math person out there? So I figure that that Bible gets used 60 times in a year. And I think that Bible, they said, cost six bucks or something like that, $5. That's a $5 Bible. And it lasts for 6 years, I think it was the life expectancy. And then they recycle it and do something else with it. I think they replace the cover or do something with it. But so 360 times, basically, for $5, that Bible is going to get read 360 times over a six-year period of time. So the Gideons are an amazing organization, and I really believe that, you know, what changes people is the Spirit of God. And you know what? He uses this word. This is how he gives us his revelation, through his Holy Spirit and through his word. And this is the word of God. And I love Clint. I love what they do. And so we're going to pray. And I think we already took the offering, so we didn't need music. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll be dismissed.